That'd be
all right, the recorder wasn't working earlier today. Hopefully we're all fixed. Looks like it's going. Okay, we are to this week's daf is Sukkah daf Tesvav. There's Hashem, we have a Bechina this week on Yud Dalet and Tesvav. Okay, so we are holding out a Mishnah on Tesvav Amud Aleph. So let's see, says the Mishnah. Again, discussing structural issues of a sukkah. Different kinds of schach, kosher, not kosher, says the Mishnah. Tikra she'ina le'maziva. Let's say you have a ceiling. So you ever see how they build a ceiling on a room? So first there are boards, there are planks that they lie next to each other, and then they'll plaster them together, or they'll put some sort of roofing over it, but it starts out as just wood planks that are next to each other. Tikra means you have those wood planks, let's say Rashi says we're dealing with four tfachim wide wood planks that are right next to each other, that are lined up exactly next to each other, but they don't have any roofing on top of it. There's no roofing material that's on top of it or that's under it. It's just those planks. So you have, basically, Tikra Sheina LeMaziva is a fancy way of saying four tefach wide planks all next to each other. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the halacha in this case? The halacha is that it's a machlokas between Beisham and Beis Hillel. Beisham Yomrim, mefakvik v'notel achas b'netayim. Beisham says you need to do two things in order to make it kosher. First, you need to mess around with all of the planks. You need to move them around. You need to do something to show that you're doing something, that you're making the sukkah. Ta'aseh v'lomina asui, that you're actually doing something actively. And then, on top of that, you also need to remove one of those planks and fill it with just branches and kosher schach. So Beis Shammai holds you need to do two things. You need to mess around with each and every board, and then, in addition to being, as Rashi terms it, minaneah eskulan, shaking every single one of them, take one of them out and put in its place regular kosher schach. The Gemara is obviously going to have to deal with why do you need to do both of those things? If all we're trying to address is that you need to do something, so why isn't something enough? Why would you need to do both of those things? But that's Beis Shammai's Shita in the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Hillel says, Mefakfek o notalech achas mbeinatayim. Beis Hillel says, I agree that Mefakfek and notalech achas mbeinatayim are good ideas, but it's not that you need to do both of them, one or the other. Either shake each one, or take out one from in between. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, Beis Hillel Mefakfek, why do you have to, why would shaking them be good? Mishum tasev, v'lo min ha'asui. If you just leave it there, then it's min ha'asui, then it's made by itself. So you need to do something active. Vein sarach laseis pesel, but you don't need to take one away and put a regular schach in its place. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, and this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, demachshir b'nesarim sheyesh ben dalid l'sakech eskula. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to use four tefach wide boards as schach, that is perfectly kosher schach. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, you have this perfectly kosher schach, what's the only thing that it's lacking? Ta'aseh. So all you got to do is do a ta'aseh, do something. Or your other option is take one of the boards down and then you don't have to shake anything. Then you can just fill in some schach and that will be your ta'aseh. That will be good enough. That would suffice. So those are your two options according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Beis Hillel. Rabbi Meir, again, Rabbi Meir is a bar plukta of who? Who does Rabbi Meir typically argue with? With Chum or Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Meir is not arguing in the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda said, "This is the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel." Rabbi Meir says, "No, not alachas be bein time veinu mfakbeik. There's no machlokas here. Everyone would tell you the same thing that you should take off one of the boards, fill it in with kosher schach. Being mfakbeik is useless. To mess it around is useless. Why would he say that? Why would moving it around, moving the boards around, be useless?" What must he hold if he holds that moving around the four tefach wide boards is useless?
Because you can't move aside.
Good. He holds four tefach wide boards are not kosher for schach. If you look at Rashi, Ramei Romer Notalach mi beinatayim, avalo yifakvek, she'in pikbuk moilo. Because moving it around is not going to help any. Rameir l'tamei, and this is Rameir l'shitaso. Rameir, according to his reasoning, as Melman just pointed out, damar ein mesachin b'nesarim, that you cannot use boards for schach. Va'al yidei pesel shebeinatayim miskashra, and it becomes kasher only when you put in regular pesel, regular kasher schach. Good, that is the shita of Reb Meir. So we'll leave Rashi there, and let's see the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Beisilal Taimayu Mishum Tasav Lamanasli. Beisilal, we understand what Beisilal holds. We understand that Beisilal says one or the other, just do something. Why is just doing something good enough? Because the problem was Ta'asav Lomina Asui. So as long as you do something, you've solved the problem of Ta'asav Lomina Asui. So Imefakfek Avadle Maisa, if you shake around the boards, the boards, you've done a Maisa. Ino Talachas Meretayim Avadle Maisa. And if you did what?
Took one of
the men and put in kosher schach. You also did a maisa. So I understand Beisilal thinks that the problem is tasav lomanasui, and therefore the solution is any sort of maisa. Ela beishamai maitai mayu. But what's Beishamai's reasoning? Why does Beishamai hold that you need to do both? Imishum tasav lomanasui. If the problem were tasav lomanasui, what's our kasha going to be? Good. Bechadasagi. One of them should have sufficed. Why would you need to do both? Both the shaking of the boards and the removing of one of the boards and replacing it with kosher schach. Imishum gzeres tikra, and if the issue is gzeres tikra, what's gzeres tikra? What does that mean, gzeres tikra? We've had that before. What does gzeres tikra mean? That you can't do with boards, and therefore, obviously, shaking is not going to help any because you still have boards. So then, what should be the prescription for this case?
Take it out.
Take it out and switch, right? Why would you have to shake it also? It would suffice to just take it out and put other kosher schach inside? Question mark. So this is a kasha on who? Who's the kasha on? Beishamai, or at least the way Rabbi Yehuda understood the Beishamai. Good. So says Gemara, Liola Mishum Gzeres Tikra. Beishamai was worried about Gzeres Tikra. And what Beishamai was saying was not that you really need to do both. Really, if it's Gzeres Tikra, what do you need to do? Switch it, right? Shaking it will do nothing for you. Moving around will do nothing for you. You need to take one out and put it in kosher schach. V'achi kamri. This is what Beishamai really meant to say. Afal pishem efakbek inot al achas v'mbein etayim in ilolo. Beishamai heard that Beisilal said that you could just shake it around. Beishamai says, yeah, you know what happens if you just shake it around? You still got to go and take one plank out and fill it in with non-kosher schach. And guess what? That's the same rule if you don't shake it around. Meaning, Beishamai is saying, don't tell me to shake it around, because shaking it around will do nothing for me. It will get you right back to square one, where the only solution to your problem anyway is just take out a board and fill it with kosher schach. So, you got that? Right?
That's what is that? What does the previous statement mean?
Afal pishem fakbek. Even if you did shake it around, you did move it around, still, you didn't do anything. You know, if you then go and remove one of the planks and fill it with kosher schach, you did a good job and fine, which you could have done that alone, right? You didn't need to be mfakbek. And low, and if you don't go and mix it and shake it around, I'm sorry, and replace it, take out one of the boards and replace it with kosher schach, low, then you didn't do anything anyway. So doing the mfakbek serves you no purpose. That's all Beishamai is really trying to say. Not that you need to do both, that you need to do one, but not either one. You need to do which specific one? Which specific tikkun? Dafka, the switching tikkun. Beisilal holds either one. Either tikkun is good enough, because Beisilal is concerned about Ta'asav Lamanasui. Beishamai, concerned about Gzeres Tikra, is going to say that you have to do Dafka, the switching tikkun. Yes?
If that's all he meant, that all you need to do is just switch, the more straight and clear way of saying it is just say switch. And then we'll understand, okay, that means that if you shake, that's not good. And if you shake and switch, then it's the same as just switching.
Yeah, sometimes these Mishnayos are like that. It's hard to understand why the Lashonos are like that. I don't know. So, says the Gemara, Ihachi, Eima Seifa. Wait a second. What was Rabbi Meir's opinion?
Just switch.
How did we just explain Beishamai's opinion?
Just switch.
Just switch. So Rabbi Meir is holding like?
Beishamai.
How could Rameir hold like Beishamai? What do we? Do you ever hold like Beishamai? Why?
Beishamai
says both. Beishamai says you could do either one. Beishamai says no, you can't. There's only one option here, and that is switch it. And Rameir comes along and says, "No, till achas ben time ve'eno mefakpek." Right? That's Rameir.
There's no
replace it. Ah, so let's see. So says the Gemara, if that's what Beis Shammai is coming to teach me, then look at the Seif of our Mishnah. Rav Meir Omer, Notalachas Mibinatayim, Avalo Yifak Peik. Rav Meir says, take one of the boards out, replace it with Kosher Schach, but do not shake it. Rabbi Meir, Haina Beis Shammai. So Rav Meir is Beis Shammai. Rav Meir is saying the same thing as Beis Shammai. And that's a question, right? That's not just a statement. Oh, Rav Meir is like Beis Shammai, how cute. No, it's a question. Rav Meir can't be going like Beis Shammai. We don't want someone to be going like Beis Shammai. So says Gemara Hachi Kamar. This is what Rav Meir means to say, exactly what Dani said before. That Rav Meir is trying to say, Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. That Rav Meir is saying that there is no machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on this matter. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda thinks that Beis Hillel holds you could do one or the other. And that Beis Shammai says you got to dafka replace it. Rav Meir thinks that even Beis Hillel holds you only have to replace it. That you don't do one or the other. My kamashmalan, what's the chiddush then? To Rabbi Meir, isle gzeiras tikra. That according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah holds of gzeiras tikra. And because he's worried about gzeiras tikra, that's why he says, what do you need to do? Only the removal of one, the shaking it around will do nothing for you. Rabbi Yehuda, less like gzeiras tikra, Rabbi Yehuda's not worried about gzeiras tikra. Is that the whole chiddush of our Mishnah? Well, guess what? Vafligu b'chad zimna. That machlokas happened already. We already had a machlokas about that. Why would we have a second machlokas about the same exact thing with the same exact parties involved? Where did we have this machlokas already? A long time ago. Ditznan on Daf Yud Dalid, right? Last week, one daf ago, we learned previously in the Mishnah, Misachin ben Asarim Divir Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir Oser. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda holds you can use boards for schach, and Rabbi Meir says you can't. So very clearly, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not worried about gzeiras tikra. Rabbi Meir says, I am. So now, one daf later, or if you're thinking in terms of Mishnayos, very next Mishnah, we come along and we say, yeah, same machlokas again, same parties. That's a little bit repetitive. So that's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara is going to have two approaches to answer this kasha. Approach number one. So, key concepts, by the way. Tasav Loman Asli is a key concept, obviously. Gzeiras Tikra is a key concept. And Ifligu B'Chad Zimna. You should be familiar with that. That comes up a lot of times in Shas. Ifligu B'Chad Zimna. Saying that they've already argued about this one time. Yeah, question?
I don't understand what they're trying to say for Rabbi Yehuda, that he doesn't hold, based on the fact that he's quoting the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel.
Yeah, because when you quote a Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, then whatever you're quoting from Beis Hillel is what you hold. Right? Because that's the rule. The rule is Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, you're always going to pass on Beis Hillel. So whatever you quote from Beis Hillel, that's what you really hold. So we're asking, why would you repeat the same Machlokas? We just had this Machlokas. Two resolutions to the problem. Number one, Amar b'chiyah barabar Amar b'yochanan Reisha b'nesarim mishuf v'naskinan U'mishum gzeras kelim naguba. The Reisha was talking about boards that were mishufin. What does mishufin mean? Look at Rashi. Reisha lav mishum gzeras tikra iflug. Rashi and Amar b'chiyah barabar toward the end of the skinny lines. B'chiyah barabar says in the Reisha they were not arguing about gzeras tikra. They were dealing with boards that were less than four tefachim wide, but they were sanded down perfectly. They were perfectly smooth, and you can use them for all sorts of things that you would use flat wooden boards for, like, yeah, those sorts of things. Like a rolling pin board that you roll out the dough on or something, you see? A pizza thing, stick the pizza in the oven. It was smooth, you could use it for stuff.
Rolling pin or not? No, the board.
The board that you roll the dough on, not the rolling pin. Umishum gzeiras kelim naguba. So you know what Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are arguing about in the previous Mishnah? They're not talking about gzeiras tikra. Because we're talking about something that's less than four tefachim anyway. Oh, they're discussing whether we're worried about a gzeiras kelim, that it's too similar to a kli. Umishum gzeiras kelim naguba lifsal alibet Rabbi Meir. Afal gav de, here's a key phrase, pshute kli eitz ninhu. Even though they are pshute kli eitz. What is pshute kli eitz? Anyone ever hear that terminology? Shute kliyetz means a wood kli, but it's not a kli, it's just a flat board. Pshute kliyetz is a flat piece of wood. Does that have a din of a kli, or does it not have a din of a kli? Normally, for something to have a din of a kli, one of the key characteristics you would look for is a base kibble. What's a base kibble? Right, something that's a receptacle. Pshute kliyetz obviously do not have a base kibble. So v'lo mekabel tuma. So pshute kliyetz are not mekabel tuma. They're not a real kli. So gazabu atu kelim ha mekabel tuma. So Rabbi Meir in the previous Mishnah says still don't use an eschach because I'm going to make a gzera that it's too similar to a kli. So don't use these less than four tefachim boards that are perfectly sanded and perfectly smooth. Don't use a meschach, not because they're mekabel tuma, but because they're very similar to things that are mekabel tuma. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, I'm not worried about that. I don't think there's such a gzera to be made. On Daf Tezvav, an hour Daf, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda disagree about boards that are four tefachim wide. And they're arguing about gzeras tikra, a different gzera, a different issue.
So, the other one?
What?
This one?
Yeah, I think so. So that's what. So again, let's see an inside. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Reisha, the previous Mishnah Benesar Mishuf Naskinan is dealing with boards that are smoothed out. Umishum Gzeras Kalim Naguba, and it's not a Gzeras Tikra issue; it's a Gzeras Kalim issue. What does Gzeras Kalim mean? That the boards that are totally smooth are even though they're not Kalim. Why are they not Kalim? Because they don't have receptacles, but they're like kalim. They're too similar to kalim. Ul Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Damar Sicha Bechitzin Zecharim Ksheira B'Nekevos Psula V'lo Gazer Zecharim Matu Nekevos Hachanami Lo Nigzer Nesar Meshuf V'Natu Kalim. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second. Is that a reasonable gzera to make? That you're going to say smoothed out boards are usher because they're too similar to kalim? Well, we once had two things that were similar to each other where we discussed arrows. Remember when we discussed the male and female part of the arrow? Right? So we said that if you use the male part of the arrow, which is essentially what? What is the male part of the arrow? It's a wooden stick. It's nothing. It's a piece of schach. Right? A wooden stick. So that's kosher. You use the female part of the arrow. It has what? What does the female part have?
A base
kibble, a receptacle. So that's puzzle. But we said don't make a gezeira not to use the male part of the arrow lest you use the female part of the arrow. Now let me ask you, what are you more likely to confuse for each other? One part of the arrow for another part of the arrow? Or shute kliyetz for kliyetz that have a base kibble? A flat piece of wood for a piece of wood that's a salad bowl. What are you more likely to confuse for each other? The arrow to the other arrow, because that's at least part of the same thing. You would think that's if there's anywhere I was going to make a gzera, it would be there. And what do we see over there? We don't make a gzera over there. There is no gzera over there. So just like we don't make a gzera over there, why would you make a gzera over here? So answer number one is now rejected. We tried to answer the difference between the Mishnah and Daf Yudalid. And the Mishnah and Daf Tezvav is on Daf Yudalid we were talking about Pshute Kliyetz, and it was a Gezerah that Remeir was worried about, that they're too similar to Kalim. Asked the Gemara, why would you make such a Gezerah? We don't make Gezerahs by a case of a female arrow and the male arrow part, that we assume you're allowed to be Mesachich with the male arrow. Obviously, we're not worried about such Gezerahs. Says the Gemara, answer number two. Ella al karchach reisha pligi begzeres tikra v'seifa pligi begzeres tikra. Okay, so we're stuck. The previous Mishnah Daf Yudalid was machlok shamer and Rabbi Yehuda about gzeres tikra. The Mishnah here Daf Tezvav is machlok shamer and Rabbi Yehuda about gzeres tikra, which begs the obvious question: v'pligi betarti zimni lamali. Why do we need to argue twice about the same thing? Seifa Rabbi Yehuda to kamele the Rameir. The Seifa is really a continuation of the previous Mishnah. It's a conversation that's going on. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not worried about Gzeres Tikra. Meir says, well, I am. So you know what Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir? I'll prove to you that I'm right. How do you think this is going to end up? What's this proof going to be? We pass on Beis Hillel. There's a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about this issue. And Beis Hillel was not worried about Gzeres Tikra. So you, Rabbi Meir, are going like Beis Shammai. So I'm right, because I'm going like Beis Hillel. And what's Rameir's response going to be? No, there is no machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai here. Even Beis Hillel is moda over here that there is a problem of gzeiras tikra. So Sefer Rabbi Yehuda taka amar le Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda presses the case with Rameir. He pushes Rameir. He says, "Amayka asarta b'nasarim. Why did you asur the boards? Mishum gzeiras tikra. Because of gzeiras tikra, hai svara." He says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rameir is saying, Rabbi Yehuda saying rather, I heard of that idea of gzeiras tikra. You know where I heard it? Sounds so familiar. It's Beis Shammai who says it, the rejected opinion. Hai svara le Beis Shammai hu de islahu. U Beis Hillel lo gazri. Beis Hillel never made such a gzeira. You know, there's a Mishnah Masech Zidios that asks, why do we even mention Beis Shammai? Just tell us what Beis Hillel holds. That's what we're going to hold anyway. So that's not the Mishnah's answer. That you would think that would be. The Mishnah's answer is, what? That's what he suggested. It's not the Mishnah's answer. The Mishnah's answer is, for this kind of situation, the Mishnah's answer is, because one day someone's going to come along and say, I have a great idea. And they're going to suggest something, and we're going to be able to say, you're not the first person to invent this idea. It's been thought of before, and it's been rejected. Because look, Beis Shammai held it, and it's been rejected. It's going to be our way of saying, you didn't reinvent the wheel over here. It's been discussed by the great scholars of the past generations, and we've rejected it. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is doing with Beis Shammai over here. This is case in point of why we ever quote Beis Shammai. It's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is doing. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, oh, Rabbi Meir, you think you thought of a great idea? It's been thought of. People greater than you thought of it. Beis Shammai thought of it. Guess what? They've been rejected. Let's move on now. Va'amri Rameir, and Rameir responds, Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. Rameir says, no, your tradition of who said what, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, is flawed. I know that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel never disagreed about this matter. That Beis Shammai Beis Hillel both agree that there is a problem of gzeiras tikra. Good? That is answer number two. Let's just get to the Mishnah, then we'll do all three main points. So says the Gemara, Hani chalarav, da'amar machlokes B'shiyesh ben arba'a. I understand very well, according to Rav, who says that the machlokas is in a case where it has four tefachim, where they're four tefachim, the boards are four tefachim wide. D'rav Meir is like Zeres Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda less like Zeres Tikra, where a Meir is going to hold of Zeres Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda will not hold of Zeres Tikra. You have to remember a little bit what we did last week. Elul Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, Damar B'Shein Ben Arba Machlokas, Aval Yesh Ben Arba Devar Kol Psula. But according to Shmuel, that a board that's four tefachim wide, everyone's going to agree. Both Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, everyone's going to agree is pasul. So safe of my pligi. Then what in the world is going on in our Mishnah? Tikra Shein Ala Maziva should be about boards that are more than four tefachim wide. But according to Shmuel, boards that are more than four tefachim wide was not the machlokas in the last Mishnah. Boards that are more than four tefachim wide, everyone holds as pasul. So where does Rabbi Yehuda get off in our Mishnah all of a sudden saying that it's not such a problem? Well, you got to take care of it. Tasav lo menasli. I'm not worried about the four tefachim wide boards. So says the Gemara, Bibitule Tikra Kamiflagi. Mar Savar Batla Bahachi, Umar Savar Lo Batla. Look at Rashi. Kilomar. This means to say, third wide line of Rashi. Amar lecha Shmuel, Shmuel will respond to you. Li olam b'shiyesh ben arba'a. Really, our Mishnah is talking about a case where there's more than four tefachim to each board. V'lo haisa kan tikra mitchila. And you didn't have a roof here before. V'achshav hu ba l'sakech b'hu l'shem sukkah. What does that mean? Now you want to come, you want to take these four tefach wide boards, and you want to make a sukkah with four tefach wide boards. Afilu Rabbi Yehuda pasil. That even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say is no good. De gazrin and tikra shelo yava v'yeshiv tachas kuros beso. V'yomer mali zeh mali chadasha. Because a person is going to say, why is this any different than my house? Aval hashta dezu tikra haisa. But if something was a pre-existing roof, it was a roof of my house already. Ubali de maisa lasos l'shem sukkah, and you're trying to do something to it, to alter it, to change it, in order to make it what? Kosher for a sukkah. You're taking an existing roof and you're saying, I'm going to turn this roof into a sukkah. Vizemo chiach. So what is that showing? When you take a perfectly good, viable roof and you do something to it, what does that tell you? What's that? What kind of statement is that making? That's a statement that I know that a roof is not a sukkah. I know that there's a difference between the roof on my house and my sukkah. How am I showing that I know that? So I'm taking a roof and I'm showing I need to change this. I can't leave it like this if I want it to be a sukkah. So I'm actively showing that this is not a sukkah, this is a house. And they're different from each other. When I'm just putting up beams, I'm just putting up planks as a roof and building a sukkah out of it, I have not shown that I know the difference between a sukkah and a house. Because I'm building something that looks just like a house, and I'm calling it a sukkah. So I have not shown anything. And therefore, there's good reason to say, you know what? You can't use that for a sukkah, because that's a gezeiras sukkah. You're going to end up sitting in your house instead. But if I'm dafka doing something to show, this is not my house, this is my sukkah, and a house is not the same as a sukkah, then there's less of a reason to make a gezeiras tikra. Vayter and Rashi, the zemo chiyach, that demonstrates sheyodeya, that you know, sha'amra Torah ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asli, that you know the Torah says you need to do something to make a sukkah. So then, pligi Rabbi Yudah Rav Meir, iikasulu migzor mishum tikra. Then there's a machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Do you have to still make gzeira olo or not? Rabbi Yehuda savar betulei tikra lebe shamai tzarich litol mi ben atayim. That Rabbi Yehuda will say, in order to undo the roof and turn it into a sukkah, according to Beishamai, you need to take one out. The alfagav de mochiach shabaki betasav lo menasui gazriba. Because even though you've proven that you know about tasav lo menasui, they still made a gzeira. All you need to do is shake it around to show that you know that a real roof is not good, and then there's no reason to make any gzeiras anymore. And Rav Meir thinks that nobody made a gzeira over here. So, in short, what's this answer? What are we suggesting? That according to Shmuel, that there never was a machlokas about four tefach wide boards. So what's the machlokas in our Mishnah? We're talking about four tefach wide boards in our Mishnah. What are they arguing about in our Mishnah? So in short, what they're arguing about is when you already have a pre-existing roof, what do you need to do to demonstrate that you know this is not a sukkah? To take away the problem of gzeiras tikra. This Rabbi Yehuda holds that according to Basil, all you need to do is shake it around, show that you know that a sukkah is different than a roof, no more gzeiras tikra. And Rav Meir holds there's nothing you could do to change it. If it's four tefachim wide boards, there's a gzeiras tikra. There's nothing you could do to make that different. So what's the difference between Mishnah Daf Yudal and Mishnah Daf Tezvav, according to what we're saying now? Mishnah Daf Yudal, what are they arguing about, according to what we're saying now? Anybody? Mishnah Daf Yudal, what were they arguing about? Yeah.
In a case where it was already there, or you're putting it up and you don't know the difference between a house and a sukkah, and it's just not there, and you're not saying that it's anything different than what it is.
You're overthinking it. The Mishnah Daf Yudalid was about boards that were less than four tefachim. That's where there was a machlokas, whether there's gzeiras tikra or not, according to Shmuel. Boards that are less than four tefachim, there's a machlokas, whether there's gzeiras tikra. If they would have been more than four tefachim, according to the Mishnah Daf Yudalid, according to the way Shmuel understands that Mishnah, if they would have been more than four tefachim, what would the halacha be? For sure possible, according to everybody. Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Meir, everybody. So essentially, the Mishnah Daf Yudalid tells us, if you have four tefach wide boards, nothing to talk about, everyone holds possible. Comes the Mishnah Daf Tezvav, talks about four tefach wide boards, and Rabbi Yehuda talks about how you can fix it. All of a sudden, it's not possible anymore. Why not? Why isn't it possible anymore?
Demonstrate that you know that there's a difference between a house and a sukkah.
Good. You've done something to demonstrate that you know the house is different than the sukkah. That's all you need to do to get rid of the problem of gzeiras tikra in Rabbi Yehuda's view. So yes, both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold there is a problem of gzeiras tikra with anything four tefachim or more. Question is, can you get rid of the problem of gzeiras tikra on a pre-existing roof? If it's not a pre-existing roof, you're trying to build it now with four tefach wide boards, forget it. Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda will both say, you're shot out of the water, nothing you could do. But if it is a pre-existing roof, Rabbi Yehuda says there's still a way to salvage it. All you need to do is show that you understand a tikra and a sukkah are different things. Go over that a few times and you'll get it. It's not that hard. Okay, number one, main point number one. Rabbi Yehuda understands Beis Shammai to insist on no talachas mi ben atayim. Rabbi Yehuda understands that it's only Beis Shammai who insists on no talachas mi ben atayim, and mefakfek is useless. Rabbi Meir thinks everyone agrees to that. Again, Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's only Beis Shammai who says no talachas mi ben atayim is the only solution. Rabbi Meir thinks everyone agrees that no talachas mi ben atayim is the only solution. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that no talachas mi ben atayim is the only solution. Good, we need more. Should I say it again? What? Again, Rabbi Yehuda understands that only Beis Shammai insists on no talachas mi ben atayim, and mefakpek is useless. Rabbi Meir thinks everybody agrees that you need to be no talachas mi ben atayim, and mefakpek is useless.
Thinks that both agree?
Yeah, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that no talachas mi ben atayim is the only solution, in fact, because it's useless. Main point number two. Two explanations of why we need to be told the machlokas of Gzeiras Tikra twice. Two explanations why do we need to be told the machlokas of Gzeiras Tikra, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, twice. Where and where? Where do we have it? Rav Yudalit and again in Daf Tezvav. Two explanations. Why do I need the same machlokas twice? A. The Reisha is not about beams that are four tefachim. It's about smoothed out beams and about Gzeiras Kalim. So again, A. The Reish is not about Gzeiras Tikra, it's about smoothed out beams that are less than four tefachim, and therefore about Gzeiras Kalim, not about Gzeiras Tikra. They're two totally different machlokasim.
How big are the beams?
Less than four tefachim.
Not about
Gzeiras Tikra. Gzeiras Kalim. That was the first suggestion. We rejected that suggestion based on the fact that we never made such a Gzeiras Kalim by Zecharim and Akevos arrows. So B is, both are about Gzeiras Tikra, and the second Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda just trying to prove himself, just trying to prove that Beis Hillel agrees with him. Both Mishnahs are about Gzeiras Tikra. The second Mishnah is just Rabbi Yehuda trying to show that Beis Hillel agrees with him, trying to prove that he's right. And point three, according to Shmuel, that four tefach boards are possible both according to Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel, that both Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda passel four tefach boards, the machlokas in our Mishnah is whether a demonstration that you're familiar with Tasa v'lominasoi is enough. Again, according to Shmuel, that both Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that there's Gzeiras Tikra on four tefach boards, that four tefach boards are possible because of Gzeiras Tikra. The machlokas in our Mishnah is whether demonstrating that you know of Tasav Lo Menasoi is good enough to make it okay. Or another way of saying it, the machlokas in our Mishnah is about fixing a pre-existing roof, as opposed to putting up a new one. That is main point number three. That was the easy mission on today's daf. Yeah.
I don't understand why. It's one thing to say that we don't pass like Beis Shammai, but then to bring a proof that you must be wrong because Beis Shammai holds something along the same lines, and then use that as a proof to prove someone wrong, I don't think that's like a good. I don't think that should be a good proof, because just like we don't, just because we don't paskin like that person, doesn't mean that you hold someone something similar to that person is therefore wrong. We may not paskin like you, but that's not a disproof. That's just.
It is disproof, because it shows that it's been discussed in earlier generations, and the guy we paskin like, and the accepted opinion, has been the one that goes against you. So you're right, it's not a logical proof, it's a practical proof. Right? It's a proof that involves a certain amount of trust in the process as it happened in previous generations. But you're right, it's not a logical proof, right? New Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Oh boy, it's late already. Says the Mishnah. Hamakara sukaso b'shvudin o baruchas amita. If a person covers his sukkah with shvudin, anyone know what a shvud is? A metal spit. O baruchas amita. Or a person puts bedposts over his sukkah. Im yesh revach b'nein kamosa. And so as long as there's enough space in between the spits or the bedposts that at least equals the amount of space that the spits or the bedposts take up, Kshera, then it could be kosher. Provided that you do what? That you fill that empty space with kosher schach. Right? Because obviously shvudin and aruchas amita are not kosher schach. So the question is, how can a sukkah that has shvudin and aruchas amita be kosher if there's as much space as they take up in between them and you fill that with kosher schach, then it will be kosher. Hachotit begadish lasl sukkah in a sukkah. What's the case of Chotit Begadish? We had that a few times. When you dig out a haystack and hollow out an area inside of it, that's not a sukkah. Why is that not a sukkah? That's Tasav Lom Nasri. So says Gemara, Lema Tavi Tiyufta Deravuna Brei Rav Yeshua. Let us suggest that our Mishnah is a Tiyufta, is a major question on Ravuna Brei Rav Yeshua. De Itmar, because it was stated, Parutz Ka'omed, what if you have exactly the same amount of open space as you have closed space? Rav Papa Amar Mutter, Rav Papa says that's Mutter. This is talking about a Mechitza for Ilcha Shabbos. When you need a Mechitza, what if the Mechitza is just as much airspace as it is closed off space of actual Mechitza? So Rav Papa says that's fine, that's still a good Mechitza. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Amar Asr. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says it's Asr. So what do we see in our Mishnah? We have Schach, and half of it is no good, half of it is good. And what did we say? Is that okay or not? We said it's okay in our Mishnah. So that's a raya that Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua is wrong. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said it's not okay. 50-50 is not good enough. So says Gemara, Amar lecha Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua would respond to you, my kamosan? No, you misunderstood our Mishnah. The word kamosan doesn't mean exactly like it. The word kamosan means benichnas v'yotze. It means with enough space to fit the amount of kosher schach that equals the amount of non-kosher schach in and out, to be able to take it in and out. Which means, in order to take something in and out, you need a little give. You need a little extra space. Right? So if I have exactly the same amount of kosher schach as I do pasul schach, and I'm able to fit that kosher schach in between the pasul schach, what does that show you? That the space that the pasul schach left over must be what? Come on, I don't want to be talking to myself. Must be what? Must be more than the actual pasul schach. Right? It's got to be more than the actual pasul schach. So it's not 50-50 in our Mishnah. It's 51-49. Good? So says the Gemara, Vaha efshar letzamtzem. Ask the Gemara. We assume, what the Gemara is assuming at this point, is that when we say benichnas v'yotze, we mean to say is that what you think is 50-50 may not really be 50-50. It's very likely 51-49. Not that we know it's 51-49, but you know, what you think is 50-50 might really be 51-49. If that's what the Gemara is asking, if that's what the Gemara just answered, the Gemara's question is, What do you mean what you think is 50-50 may not be 50, may not really be 50-50? Efshar letzamtzem. You know what the words efshar letzamtzem mean? Underline that. That comes up in a few places in Shas. Efshar letzamtzem. What? Yeah. Efshar letzamtzem means we are capable of measuring with precision. Don't think, you're probably off by 1 or 2%. No. We are capable of measuring with precision. If you think it's 50-50, you know what? It might just be 50-50. What? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami b'ma'adif. So Rabbi Ami says, no, you misunderstood. When we said Nichnas v'yotzei, what we mean is that you didn't try to assume that it's 50-50. That you understood that there was a little bit more, there was a little bit more kasher schach than there was non-kasher schach. Right? Ma'adif. You left a little extra space in between the non-kosher schach to be able to fit the kosher schach. A little bit more than 50%. Rava amar afilu tein b'shein ma'adif. Rava says, even if you didn't leave a little bit more, im hayu nesunim shasi nosan arev, arev nosan shasi. You know what shasi v'arev means? Horizontally and vertically. That if the non-kosher schach was going vertically, the kosher schach was going horizontally. I don't remember. I always get confused which one is which. And if the non-kosher schach was going the other way, so then the kosher schach was going the other way. Right? The point is, what's the point? That you place the kosher schach, let's say it's like the non-kosher schach is going across the sukkah, covering 50% of the sukkah, and then you put kosher schach over the whole thing, over the non-kosher schach and the airspace. You just roll out a mat of kosher schach over the entire thing. What does that do for you? What does that do for you? So what it does for you is you have more kosher schach than non-kosher schach, and therefore you follow the majority. Right? Because the kosher schach goes over the non-kosher schach also, so you have more kosher schach than you do non-kosher schach, follow the majority. No. Even if it's over it, we're assuming that it's able to be mevatalit because it's batal barov, which is a big chiddush. You're right. Main point number one. Our Mishnah can even hold like Rav Yehuda ben Rav Yeshua that 50-50 is aser. Again, our Mishnah can even hold like Rav Yehuda ben Rav Yeshua that parts ka'omed is aser. That when things are 50-50, it's aser. A. It might be b'ma'adif. B. It might be shasivare. You should know what those words mean. Yeah. But A, it might be b'ma'adif, which means it's not really 50-50, it's 51-49. Or B, it could be shasivarev, where you pile on the kosher schach on top of the non-kosher schach also. And that's why it works. Our Mishnah can even hold like Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, who holds that 50-50 parts ka'omeid is aser. The Mishnah said 50-50 is okay. No, either the Mishnah's talking about where it's 51-49, ma'adif, or the Mishnah's talking about a case where you piled on more kosher schach on top of the non-kosher schach, and therefore it's 50-50 in terms of when I look up from the sukkah, I see 50% of the space taken up by kosher schach and 50% taken up by non-kosher schach, but the total amount of kosher schach over my sukkah outnumbers the total amount of non-kosher schach over my sukkah. Good. Couple more lines. Oh, Baruch HaSamit, Rabbi Klappel said the last question I asked on the Bechina on these last few lines was the only unfair question. So let's see. Let's see if I have to change it. What? Oh, Baruch Osamita. So what did the Mishnah say? That if you use shvudin, spits, or bedposts, what are we assuming about those things? Spits and bedposts, what do they have in common? They're both not schach, right? They're both not good for schach. Says the Gemara, Leimam Seyed Rabbi Ami Bar Tevyumi. Maybe this is a riot, Rabbi Ami Bar Tevyumi, Dama Rabbi Ami Bar Tevyumi. Because Rabbi Ami Bar Tevyumi says, Sicha Bivla'e Kalim. If you are misakech with bla'e kelim, what does bla'e kelim mean? It means worn out clothing that's less than 3x3. Etzba'os, I think it is. It's very small. And it's not mekabel tumah. Meaning you take worn out rags that used to be clothing and is no longer mekabel tumah. But you know what? It used to be a piece of clothing that was mekabel tumah. Psula. That's puzzle. Kedamar Avchanan Amar. So what does that tell you? That even something that comes from a kli that used to be a kli also can't be used as schach. What do you envision exactly when the Mishnah said bedposts cannot be used as schach? What bedposts? What are you putting up there? What does it look like? Are you taking a full bed frame and putting it up there? And it looks like a bed just without the mattress? No, you're taking off the posts, you're ripping it apart, and you have 2x4s running across your sukkah. You know what that's normally called, 2x4s? Schach! Why is that puzzle all of a sudden? Why does the Mishnah assume it's puzzle? You pulled apart your bedpost, you have 2x4s running across your sukkah, that's schach! Why would the Mishnah say that's puzzle? So why is it assuming it's puzzle? Says the Gemara, must be because we're assuming like Ravami Bar Tavyumi, that anything that used to be a kli is puzzle. And the bedposts used to be a kli, because it used to be a bed frame. Just like clothing, bla'e kalim, used to be clothing, now it's rags that are so tiny, they're like less than a handkerchief, they can't be used for anything. Still, they're no good. Right? That bla'e kalim are puzzle. So, says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. That equation is not necessarily true. To say that just because you hold that bed posts are puzzle does not necessarily mean you hold bla'i kalim are puzzle. Kedam Rav Chan and Amar Rebbe Baruch HaVishtei Kra'ayim B'Ktsar HaVishtei Kra'ayim. The bed posts that we're talking about in our Mishnah are not ripped apart bed posts that are no longer a bed frame at all. It's talking about you have the long side and two legs on the short side. So if you of the bed frame. So if you push it up against the wall, it could actually still work as a bed frame. It's just not an ideal bed frame. It's not the sturdiest bed frame. Or you have the short side and the two long sides. You just don't have that end piece. So you just shove it against the wall and it will be a secure, somewhat secure bed frame. So what you're putting on top of the sukkah is not something that used to be a kli. It's something that what? Still is a kli. So it could be Blay Kalim, forget about Blay Kalim. Maybe Blay Kalim really are no good. I mean, are kosher. Maybe something that used to be a kli would be kosher. But we're talking about something that didn't used to be a kli, that is still a kli. And that's why it's no good. What? It would not be good because in our Mishnah, the reason the Aruchos HaMita are not good is because they're still really a kli. Right? They're still usable. They're still usable. What? You understand the Metzias that I'm describing, or you don't understand what? The Metzias that we're describing is the Aruchos HaMita that we discussed in our Mishnah that are not good as schach. Doesn't mean you took a bed frame, ripped it apart into four pieces, you know, the four sides of the bed frame, ripped it apart and used each of them as schach. The frame that holds the mattress, right? It used to be they didn't have mattresses, they just tied straw onto a wooden frame, which was like a box, really. It was like a wooden box with four sides and no bottom, right? It was just four, here, 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 and the bed's in the middle. Right? Got that, everybody? Right? Yeah. So, we thought originally, okay, pull this one off, pull that one off, and that one off, and just lie each one individually across the sukkah. We said, well, that's schach. Right? That's kosher schach. Oh, it must be because it used to be a kli, it's no good. Now the Gemara says, no, no, no. That's not what we're talking about. You had your four-sided bed frame, you know what you did? You broke off one side, took the other three that are still attached, put that on top of your sukkah. That's not schach. What's that? If it's three together, it's still a usable bed. It's still a usable bed. Yeah, but it's still a usable bed. And that's the point. If it's still a usable bed, as long as you shove it against the wall, it could still be a usable bed. You know, on the fourth side where you pulled off the frame, just shove it against the wall, into the wall to give it some leverage. No, it doesn't have to have a receptacle as long as it's functional. So it serves a function. It is a usable bed. Some mela. That's why it can't be used as schach. It can't be used as schach because it's a kli. Okay, forget about the Messias. It's a kli. Okay, take my word for it. It's a kli. If it's a kli, that's why it can't be used for schaf. Right? Blah ekelim are not a kli. And that leads us to point number two. No. Aruchos hamita are puzzle even if blah ekelim are kosher. Again, even if you hold blah ekelim are kosher, you could hold aruchos hamita are puzzle. Why? Because the aruchos hamita, no, why? Why is aruchos hamita worse? There's still a bed. It's still a kli. They still have some function. They still are usable. Blah ekelim are useless. They're garbage. So even if blah ekelim are puzzle for schach, aruchos hamita still might be kosher for schach. Say it reverse. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Aruchos hamita are puzzle even if blah ekelim are kosher. Even if blah ekelim are kosher for schach, because they're useless, aruchos hamita might still be puzzle because they might not be useless. They might still have some sort of function. Even if blah ekelim are kasher for schach, things that used to be kelim that are useless currently are kasher for schach, aruchos hamita are going to be puzzle for schach because aruchos hamita have a function. Okay, now that I've given that main point, I now question 10 is not unfair considering the main point that I just gave you. What? Now you want to repeat it. You got the other ones? Aruchos hamita can be puzzle even if blah ekelim are kosher. Because aruchos hamita have some function. They could do something.
Function.
Can be puzzle. Even if blah ekelim are kosher, because bedposts still have a function. Shkoyach. We'll see. Oh, we're not going to have another B'kiyush here until after winter vacation. B'china on Friday, and that's it. What?